Mark chapter 5, starting with verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowded against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher any further?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Pray with me. Our God, we marvel at you and your power. We marvel at your word and what you have done. We marvel at your ability to deliver those who are on the brink of death, to rescue those who are suffering. Father, we marvel at your ability to rescue the dead and the perishing. Father, please show us now what you would have us do with these passages. Father, please show us how these words, how this truth should change our lives and change the way that we live. And we ask, Father, that you be glorified in our lives as we apply your truth first to our hearts, and then, Lord, flowing from that, how you would have your truth impact our actions. how we relate to you and how we relate to one another. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite things to do with my kids when I first got them was to throw them into the air. First, I would start off kind of low and easy, and I would get used to it. And then I would start throwing them a little higher. And it got to the point where I would throw these kids absolutely as high as I possibly could. And their eyes would get big, and they would smile, and they would come back down to my arms, and we would do it again and again until I was tired and I was afraid I couldn't do it anymore. Well, one day, a child saw me doing this with my kids, and they ran over, and they said, "Do me." And I said, "All right." So I grabbed this kid and I launched them as high as I possibly could in the air. Their eyes were not filled with joy. They did not smile. They flapped their arms and they screamed bloody murder, and everyone around looked to see what this maniac was doing with their child. And I caught the kid and they ran away. We see here people in a situation that is terrifying. We see a father about to lose a child, utterly terrified. We see a woman who is at the end. Everything has been tried. Everything has been tried. She has exhausted all of her money. And when you look at the Greek, she wasn't just thinking, "If I just touch the end of his clothes," she's saying, "If I just touch the end of his cloak, I will be," the word is actually "saved." "If I just touch the end of his cloak, I will be saved. If I just touch the end of his cloak, I will be saved." You see, you who have been delivered, you're not the child who's flailing as you fly through the air as you plummet. But you are the child falling into the arms of your Savior. You are the one falling into the arms who is able to rescue you. So we see here that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the living God, able to save and able to rescue you and rescue everyone. What do you do with these two stories? What do you do with these two historical accounts? What would Christ say to you through these words? But be saved and be at peace. Because although you face hard times and although you do go falling through the sky, and you would flail and you would scream, know that as you fall, your daddy who is strong and able to save, waits. And he will receive you and hold you close. So, look to Christ in desperate, dark, and even evil times. Look with me at verse 22. "Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet." Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. Same word that they used to describe the walls of Jericho falling down. This man collapsed. Just like the walls of Jericho would have seemed strong and steadfast, this synagogue ruler, this leader, would have stood fast and strong. But then, when he realized he could not save his little girl, he went to the one person who could. And seeing him, he collapsed. undone, realizing he had no strength of his own, no integrity of his own. But there was someone who did. The woman who came. Well, actually, when Jairus said that, lay your hands on her so that she will be healed, it's actually so that she will be saved. Lay your hands on her so that she will be saved and live. You see, salvation is always tied up with Christ. Salvation is always tied up with peace and tied up with security. You will all face death. You will face it in your family members. You will face it in your own lives. But the question is salvation. The question is, as you are threatened with death and as the shadow looms over you, the question is, are you saved? You will fall. You will plummet. But the question is, are you saved? Then you can trust Christ in the dark times. You can trust Christ in the hard times, even in evil times. You can trust Him. You don't flail. You don't scream. But you may weep. Because you're still touched. You still face some of the sting, you face the pain. But you do not wail and you do not cry like those who have no hope. Because you have hope in Jesus Christ. Because of your salvation, you do not carry on like those who have no hope. Now remember that reconciliation with God and your salvation is your ultimate peace. Look with me at verse 28. Because she thought, or because she said, if I just touch His clothes, I will be saved. That is to be preserved. That is to be rescued. That is to be delivered. Pursue Christ. Pursue Christ and pursue His salvation. You see, you are in the place where you are saved. You are in the place where you rest in Christ. So the trials that come, you are safe. You are not undone. You see, diseases and death came into the world by sin and disobedience, the disobedience of the first Adam. But by the grace of the second Adam, death is conquered. By the grace of the second Adam, you are saved. We see here Christ healing the incurable disease this woman had seen all of the doctors that she could. And all she did was suffer under them. Think of the desperation. Think of being sick and bleeding for 12 years. Seeing every doctor that you could see until you were completely out of money. You only grew worse. I was talking to someone recently and they were referring to an elderly person that was losing their mind, losing the ability to recall, losing the ability to think and asking the same questions. And the person asked me, seems wrong, doesn't it? Doesn't it seem wrong? Doesn't it seem like scientists or doctors should be able to fix that with an injection or something? My answer was no. Because man turns back to dust. Because people die, people get old. And though we still deal with the touch of the curse, though still God will say, return to dust, O Son of Man, you are not without hope because of the work of Jesus Christ. Though you grow weary, though you get tired, though you lose physical and mental ability, you are not without hope. You are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has loved you and you are saved. This is reconciliation with God. You're not on a path of torture and torment. You're on a path of more and more humility, and you are on a path to be held in the arms of your Savior. If you are in Christ, you have been delivered. You are saved to be at peace. So test your life to see if you respond like a child of God. Verse 33, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear and told him the whole truth. Recently, one of my children came to me and said, I know that you said that I shouldn't do this, but I did. Will you forgive me? They weren't even close to getting caught either. I said, do you know what you just did? You did what Adam should have done. Instead of running and hiding in the bushes when he heard God, he should have ran out and said, Father, 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 please, please, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. You look at the response of this woman, pressed in this crowd. And Jesus, he's looking around. He turned around to the crowd and he's asking, okay, who was that? Who touched my clothes? Even they said, how can you ask this? He still kept looking. And this woman, knowing what had happened to her, came up to him and fell at his knees. And told him everything. Question is, do you know what happened to you? Do you know what happened to you? Do you know that the King of the universe took your sin on him and put his righteousness on you? You know what happened to you. And how have you responded? Have you fallen at his knees, at his feet, on your knees? And are you telling him everything? In the Tolkien story, The Return of the King, you have the story of Boromir rescuing these little hobbits. And he dies. Boromir dies. And when one of these little guys who was rescued, he goes before Boromir's father. And because of the sacrifice that was done, he falls on his knees and says, my life is yours now. The idea is because your son died rescuing me, my life is yours now. Are you before Christ? Do you go before His Father? Go before the King? And have you said that because your Son laid His life down for me, my life is yours now? How have you and how are you responding to what has been done for you and what has been done to you? See, if you're missing this peace, if you're missing this salvation, you're lost. If you're missing this salvation, you're lost. If you're missing this peace, you need to evaluate your life and look at how you have responded to what has been done to you and what has been done for you. In this posture, on your knees before Christ, living your life for Him, do not fear those who mock and those who have little faith. Look with me at verses 35 and 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. Your daughter is dead, they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, do not be afraid. Just believe. Look with me, starting in verse 38 as well. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and the mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. The word for laugh there is an imperfect. It wasn't a and then it was done. They kept it up. They're standing there and they're mocking Christ and laughing at Christ. If this was done to Christ, how much more are you going to be mocked? When you stand for truth, when you stand for the Word of God, when you stand for righteousness, but this shouldn't affect your peace for you who are saved. You see, for you to be mocked by the unbelievers, it's like someone standing on the gallows with a noose around their neck, calling you the fool as you are on your way to glory. Remember this as people mock you, as people sneer at you for your faith and for you striving for righteousness. They are the ones who are perishing. And you are obeying the King of Kings. I marvel when I struggle with this in my own life. I am shocked that I would struggle with this in my own life. But when you're in a group of people and you're in these bold, with these bold and outspoken unbelievers, it's hard. But rest in the peace of Christ and do not fear them. Speak the truth and do what you must do. they are the fools. Because they are saying in their heart there is no God. They are the ones suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Do not fear them. Stand bold and stand true. And trust Christ's continued provision. Look with me starting at verse 30. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see, the people crowded against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." In verse 43, Jesus said, "Give her something to eat." Jesus, when he realized that power had gone out from him, he could have said, "Oh, someone has been healed. Very nice." And kept on his way. He could have just healed the little girl and walked out. See, but Christ isn't the sort that abandons you. I have an unbelieving friend that I've lost contact with, but he believes that God just wound up the world and set it down and let it go, and he's been off doing something else. You know, when we fear and when we tremble in our Christian lives, it's as if we think, "He just died for you, and then he was done. He's gone off to heaven and doesn't care anymore." See, but the truth is, he cares for you just as much now as when he went to the cross for you. He loves you that much, even now. There's a man who was always eager to rescue people and was always looking for people in trouble. One day he came across an accident on the highway at night, and a mail truck, a big truck, had been overturned. And the driver was still inside. He went to these great lengths to get this person out, climbing up the truck and climbing in and getting them out of the truck. And then he just left them with some other people and left this woman and then drove away. She was bleeding. She was hurt. This man, his only interest was glory and excitement and adventure. When that was over, he left a bleeding woman standing beside the road. Is this what you think of your Christ? You think he just got you out of this pickle of God's wrath, and he's done. The reality is, he's caring for you. The reality is, he's loving you. The reality is, everything that you face and every trial is for you, to draw you closer to himself. Cause you to fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Be saved and be at peace, because your God has provided for you salvation, and he provides everything that you need, despite your circumstances, despite your trials and your pain. You may be falling, but he will catch you. and He will hold you close. Be at peace in the love and the work of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that we see You have the power to rescue. You have the power to save. You have the power to rescue us from death itself. God, and for those of us who are in You, You have done so. So Lord, for those under the sound of My voice who have not knelt at Your feet, God, please show them this very morning what You have done and cause them to yield and put their faith in You. Put their faith in the sacrifice of Your Son so that Your wrath will be turned from them and that they will rest in You and trust in You and travel to glory. Father, for those of us who know You, may we rest in Your peace, rejoicing in You in our trials. God, and in our trials, looking forward to You catching us and holding us close in You. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.